Dave Moore
on Today FM.
Congratulations on this amazing film. I loved all these films, but this one in particular, I think, is a really brilliant evolution of it. And I'm just wondering, like, Millie, you're so involved in this for so long, and you've grown with Enola as a, you know, since she was a teenager, you were a teenager. Have you enjoyed the process of growing her up as you've grown and she's grown?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's been one of the greatest privileges of my life to be able to play Enola Holmes and to be able to do 3 films of it. And I'm very grateful to Netflix. They continue, you know, the franchise and bringing a hero to life for young girls and boys.
And Louis, Millie and I have spoken before a couple of times for different movies. We haven't spoken, so hello, welcome to Ireland
hello.
To you.
Hello, nice
or welcome
to meet
back
you.
To Ireland, I should say. Obviously, we'll talk in a little bit maybe about your time you've spent here shooting things. But you and Tewksbury have also grown, you know, throughout this movie.
Yeah.
Do you think he has changed from someone who, I guess, needs rescuing maybe at the beginning of the first time we kind of see him to someone now who is a problem solver in this crazy world Enola drags him into?
Yeah, I think so. I think he can stand alone now. He can stand tall. I think he's a little more wise to the ways of the world a little bit. No, I've loved growing up with him. He's very much a part of me in the best way. And I think when you have a writer who writes with you in mind for the second and the third, it just allows you to grow with it in a great way. And then pair that with Millie and this chemistry, sweet.
Millie, what's the most, do you think, underrated or misunderstood characteristic of Tewksbury that maybe people don't give him enough credit for?
Big heart.
Yeah. I think he's a lot smarter than people think.
Yeah.
And I think he's clumsy, but he's very, very lovable.
I think he's got common sense. So not to put words in your mouth, but I think he's switched on.
I think there's a number of times I find in these movies when he's the calmest person in the room, actually.
But I don't know if that's because he doesn't really know what's going on.
No.
Possibly true.
I like the calmest person in the room. I'm going to use that.
Sure. I think he's a bit like, what?
He just cools everything down.
Right.
That's it. Exactly. Millie, you're also obviously a producer on this film as well. Are you heavily involved in the costume side of things? Because what did you think of Enola's wedding dress?
Yeah. Consolata and I, our amazing costume designer, worked really closely for months before filming. I created decks of jewelry, of embellishments, of brooches, of hats and veils and lace, different kinds of lace and tulle. I'm very, very heavily into it. Love all of the design. I'll have her send me back sketches and I'll amend the sketches, send them back to her. It's a very long process. I'm very, very...
And then the first thing you do is get it destroyed on the top of a horse and carriage. I mean...
Enola style. Yeah.
Enola style, yeah.
Yeah.
Louis, I know she's sitting beside you, but what can you say about Millie, who wears these different hats in a production like this, and then still, once that director calls action, she has to jump into the actor side of things as well, and does that so unbelievably.
Yeah, she's pretty switched on. I remember once in the second film doing a dancing scene with you, and we were spinning around, and so was the camera, and Millie had just learnt this dance and was going over her lines as well. And it came together in a way was just like mad, as well as you like finding the camera while we are dancing around. Like, it was crazy. I was like, what are you doing? Because she was kind of like moving her head. She was finding the camera while spinning around and remembering lines and dancing. I was like, whoa, you can spin plates in a way that I can't. Hmm. Very, very impressive. One of a kind.
Love that. Millie, you shot this in Malta. It seems like a terrible place to shoot a movie. You know, gorgeous scenery, wonderful weather, great food. What was your favorite thing about it?
Gosh, it was very, very hot. So it was always a sunny day out, which was great. The food was delicious and the people were amazing too.
Really?
Yeah.
Excellent. Louis, I mentioned House of Guinness there at the beginning, just very quickly. As an Irishman, I have to tell you, your Irish accent was absolutely amazing.
Really?
Genuinely was.
Thank you.
I also think, like, Louis and his accents.
You reckon?
Insane. Yeah, I think you're very, very talented in that respect.
Hell yeah, thank you. Cork accent I want to do next for a part.
Oh,
I'd love to learn.
Is there a reason?
Cork accent.
Are you hinting at something there that we know? Is there a boy keen?
No, unfortunately, but I would just love to go to Cork and I would love to learn. Yeah, I think it's just so gorgeous.
Millie, speaking of accents, you and I have spoken before about your kind of multinational, you know, upbringing. I don't have that as an excuse, but I have this chameleon thing where if I was to sit with you maybe for 10 minutes, I'd immediately switch to some kind of an English phrasing every now and again. And if I'm talking to an American, I'm like, yo, dude, like, I find it really hard to not to stick to my own accent all the time.
Yeah.
But I wonder, do you guys ever find that, particularly if you're practicing an accent, or is it just something, a weird quirk I have?
You do it. She's very English around me. But if I catch her speaking to a Yank, then it's a different story.
Yeah, it's very hard for me. I moved here when I was 8 years old. And so for me, my family are all English. My friends, you know, family are English. But it's very, very hard for me because I work in American and on American sets. And I have a lot of Americans in my life. My husband's American. Yeah. So I naturally fall into it. However, when I'm around Lou or my family, I go back to my real accent.
But you might make a good actor if you're quite suggestible and empathetic in that way, like socially. I think it's a skill that a lot of actors have, because I find it too. I really I enjoy listening to the way people speak.
Yeah.
And it's, I guess
I don't have any acting skills, but I totally get what you're saying.
Yeah. Come join us.
And before I go, Millie, just very quickly, how is your tortoise David, obviously named after me? Is he doing okay?
Oh, David. Speaking of
David. Sorry, got to say it right. David.
My tortoise. Yeah, he's good. I gave him to a classroom.
Oh, fantastic.
So he's thriving in his classroom.
Wonderful. Yeah. Congratulations on Enola Holmes 3, guys. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk.
Thank you.
See you later. We spoke a long time ago, just when we came out of lockdown, you did Tenet. So it was one of those, yeah. I think it was one of
that,
these.
I think that was in the middle of lockdown.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It was kind of one of these first, let's do a Zoom interview because we can't put anybody in the same room.
Yeah.
Here we are.
Remember when that was
later.
New?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now, thankfully, we're out of all that, but still, we're here doing
still
Zoom.
Still on Zoom.
So, hey. Listen, congratulations on Enola Holmes 3. This series of movies is so good. And I'm so glad you're back in it. And what an entrance, by the way, which people have seen in the trailer, so it's not a spoiler. Yeah. You completely destroy a wedding dress. How dare you?
I know, yeah. Inadvertently, yeah.
Yes.
I'm just trying to help.
Yeah, of course. And almost destroy the bride at the same time. Watson, your character, he sees the Holmeses in, you know, the different Holmeses he deals with doing kind of very impressive things all of the time. But also getting involved, I think, in an inordinate number of scrapes for any one family, let's be honest. Like, do you think at any point Watson himself would have just gone, do you know what? I just like to go home and do whatever the Victorian equivalent of watch the World Cup is and have a cup of tea.
Yeah. I imagine there's plenty of times that he would like to have done that. But, you know, when I read some of the old stories and I listened to some of the old stories in preparation for this, and I've sort of been doing it on and off for years, really, since I shot my cameo at the end of number two,
yeah,
you know, really sort of on the sort of, I suppose, mm-hmm. kind of promise but also hope that we were going to get to do a number three, I sort of would every now and then dip back in, and there is a sort of a common thing that you hear of him just kind of going, yes, but it's just so exciting, isn't it, you know, it's just quite, you know, I was trying to have a little time at home.
Yes.
And then suddenly Sherlock knocked on the door and off we were, you know, on an adventure, because it's just the thrill of it that he loves. So I imagine you can't say no. But of course, what's great about this story is he really can't say no, because there is a threat. There is a real threat to Sherlock's life in this story and much, much more beyond. So, you know, what I loved about it was that the stakes are high from the get go, and
totally.
It just sort of goes from there.
And Watson himself, as a character from the books to every television and film version, he's been around for over 100 years. Mm. And you're saying that you dip in and out maybe to kind of keep yourself familiar, but are there also versions that you don't necessarily want to, I don't know, influence, or are you using all of the Watsons that have gone before you to create Himesh's Watson?
I suppose subconsciously I am, you know, having been a fan of a lot of Sherlock in many different sort of media over the years. Subconsciously, of course, you're drawing on that just because you have a sort of, a sort of cursory understanding of this character, how he relates to Sherlock, how he relates to the sort of genre as a whole. Yeah. But it was the specificities of this version of Watson that really excited me.
When you step into a role like this, where you've had a cameo, but it's your first time, I guess, you know, being involved in the entire production, and then you see people like Millie and Louis, who've been there since the start, since they were teenagers.
Yeah.
Millie's even a producer on this now. Is it a comfortable environment then to step into as an actor when, you know, maybe Millie is wearing different hats? You know, Millie and Louis have got this history, and then you also have to step in now and feel like you've been there forever too. Is that easy enough to do?
It's always nerve-wracking, but it was easy enough to do because they created an environment that was very welcoming. You know, Millie wearing her producer's hat is someone who cares deeply about this world, about this story, about not just her character, but every character. She cares about this being the best that it can be. And she cares about everyone having a good time while making it, you know?
Brilliant, yeah.
And so there was a lot of, you know, we had a like cast and crew sort of dinner / games night, you know, before we started rolling.
Oh, cool.
You know, all these sorts of things, it really adds to that sense of, you know, and I was split across two different productions at the time. So I was sort of with them for a bit and then I went off and then I came back and, you know, and everyone was just so lovely.
Brilliant. And look, I have to wrap up, but I must just say, because I hadn't spoken to you when this came out in the meantime, Yesterday is one of my favorite ever films.
Myself and my family,
we all watch it together. We watch it on repeat. It's one of those ones we keep coming back to. So thank you for that. It's just so beautiful. And congratulations on Enola Holmes 3.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks so much, Emmett.
Dave Moore on Today FM.